He is risen. Thank you. Somebody knows. He is risen. Listen. He is risen. There we go. He is risen indeed. Well, it's a glorious day to celebrate with fellow believers in the reality of the resurrection. This morning I want to focus on a passage of scripture which I don't think I've spoken on before. Turn with me to John chapter 20. Well, I've certainly spoken on the passage before, but never on this particular aspect of the passage. Early on the first day, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. Yet they did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. One of the first images, friends, we have as part of the resurrection story, of course, is the empty tomb. And while the tomb is something we could expect to see based on the many prophecies that Jesus has made about the fact that he would rise from the dead, it's the other components in the empty tomb which also hold significance. Today I want to try and answer the question, why was the linen that was left there in the tomb so important? Why was that so significant? I'm sure, I wonder if you've ever thought about it. I'd never really thought about it until I began to investigate that passage in preparation for this morning. Why is the linen so important? Well, first of all, let me tell you, what did Jesus leave behind? Well, we read in verse 6, Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw strips of linen there, verse 7, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. Two pieces of material were left by Jesus. What are those two pieces? Well, the first one mentioned are the strips of linen. The Greek word that is used is othinion, and it comes from another Greek word called othone, which literally just means linen. So othinion means little pieces of linen, strips of linen. These strips of linen were used very often because they were offcuts from the material that was used to make the clothing that people used. When people had finished making the clothing, there were little bits of material left. And so because people were very frugal in those days and linen was very expensive, you didn't just throw it away. They found other uses for it. They would take the pieces of offcuts and they would tear them into strips. And they would use those strips of linen for two main reasons. First of all, they would use them as bandages. And so when you read Greek literature, on many occasions you'll come across this phrase or this word being used in medical journals. The strips of linen, the bandages that were used. But they were also used in the funeral industry. Because what they would do is, you'll remember, when Jesus died, they took spices. And they didn't just throw them on Jesus' body. They covered his body with the spices and then wrapped the linen around the spices so that the smell of the decaying body would stay beneath the spices and wouldn't escape, certainly until the time when the body was buried. Obviously, eventually, the decay smell would come through. So these are the strips of linen that Peter and John found. The passage talks about the other disciple. Well, we know that the other disciple was John himself, because he himself wrote this particular story. But the other piece of material is called the burial cloth. And the Greek word that is, it's translated is soderion, a soderion. The Greek word actually comes from a Latin origin. Latin and Greek sort of developed more or less at the same time, although Greek was far more advanced, but Latin was developing at the same time. But this particular word literally just meant a hanky. A hanky, and in Greek, the word literally means sweat cloth. Sudarium. Because you've already seen me this morning, when I'm getting hot, I use the cloth and I wipe my face with it, I wipe the sweat off it. And this piece of cloth is called a sudarium. It's not just a piece of rubbish, it's actually a piece of cloth specifically designed for a number of different reasons. And we come across this particular word in the Bible at least on four occasions. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 20, it's used of the handkerchief. You remember Jesus told a parable about a rich man who left on a journey. And he gave money to three of his servants. To the one he gave 10 minas, to the other he gave 5, and to the third one he gave 1. Well, we know the story. The one who had 10 made 10 more, and the one who had 5 made 5 more. But the one who had 1 stuck it in his soderion and then put it in his pocket or hid it away. Some of the stories said they hid it under the ground. And then when the master arrived, he took his soderion out. There was the piece of gold there, because he was scared of what the master may do if he lost it. So that's the first time we come across the phrase. It's used in the book of Acts. Towards the end of Acts, when the Apostle Paul was very, very much involved in his missionary journey, spreading the gospel all over the place, doing great miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. It tells us in Acts chapter 19 and verse 12, it says, and faith cloths that Paul had used, soderion, were taken from Paul to other parts of the town and other parts of the country, and sick people were touched with a face cloth. And when they were touched with a face cloth that Paul had used, they were healed as well. Soderion. Of course, the most significant reference is also in a burial. You remember Jesus rose his friend Lazarus from the dead? Does he stands in front of the tomb and they roll the stone away, Jesus tells Lazarus, come out of the grave. And there, the face cloth, the sudarium, was over the face of Lazarus, just like it would have been over the face of Jesus. Of course, we have in our midst, or we have there are evidences of this material in the world today. The most famous of them is what is known as the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin actually is talking about the linen cloths that Jesus had. Although the Shroud of Turin was one solid piece of material, so more than likely used by a very rich person. But you know, there is another very famous piece of cloth. It's called the Sudarium of Oviedo. Turin is in Italy, and Oviedo is in Spain. And the Sudarium of Oviedo also has markings on the material, just like the Shroud of Turin does. Now, personally, I don't believe those belong to Jesus. But they give us examples of what Jesus would have been covered with. I've put a link in the notes there to an article, a very interesting Christian article, in which they show that the Shroud of Turin and the Sudarium of Oviedo actually probably covered the same man. Because it's very interesting. But I don't want to get caught up in that detail. I'm just saying there is evidence of what Jesus left behind available even in this day. So the question then is, why is it so important? Why was the linen that was found in the tomb important? It's important for two reasons. The first one is this. It's important, friends, because it confirms the resurrection. Let me show you how it confirms the resurrection. Verse 6 says, Simon Peter, who had behind him arrived, went into the tomb and saw the strips of linen there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus. The cloth was folded by itself, separated from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first went in also. He saw and he believed. Why did he believe? Well, friends, the presence of the material signified the absence of the body. What had covered Jesus was still there, but he was not. Who was the first person to discover the tomb? It was Mary. Mary, friends, who discovered the tomb. She looked in there, I'm sure she did. You know, why do we know these were the material that Jesus had been on the body of Jesus? Now, Patricia is the person who sews. You know that, don't you? She loves buying material. We've got boxes of it at our house. I bet you could ask her at any point in time, where is this piece of material? And she'll tell you, it's in that box on that cupboard over there. Am I right? Perfectly right. She knows every piece of material that is in her cupboard. Friends, those women knew what the material looked like that they put around Jesus. It wasn't all the same. All the material had different colors. It had different weaving. It had different shapes and different sizes. Sometimes the cloths were wide, sometimes they were narrow. But friends, they knew that that cloth that was there had belonged to Jesus. How do they know that? Well, it had been less than 48 hours since Jesus had been put in the grave. How do we know that? Well, we know he died sometime on Friday afternoon, and they buried him before 6 o'clock on Friday. And this is about 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. So it was less than 48 hours. Well, you might say, well, if it's less than 48 hours, how can the Bible say that Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days? Well, you see, Jewish people count their days differently to we do. Because their days run from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 o'clock the next evening. So Jesus was in the tomb before 6 o'clock on the Friday, day one. Then he was in the tomb from 6 o'clock on Friday till 6 o'clock on Saturday, day two. And the third day began at 6 o'clock on the Saturday and went through to 6 o'clock on the Sunday, day three. He wasn't literally in the tomb for 72 hours. The Jews understood when it spoke about 3 days. It didn't matter the length of the time, friends. It was the occasion that he had been, friends, been entombed for 3 days, because the first day ended at 6 o'clock on the Friday. Second day ended at 6 o'clock on the Saturday, and the third day was on the Sunday. Friends, the body was missing, and the disciples knew that something was important. Secondly, we know it's part of the resurrection, friends, because the cloth was left behind. One of the first rumors that the Jewish officials spread was that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. Now I ask you, if the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus, why was the cloth left behind? Listen to Matthew 28. When the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised the plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while you were asleep. If the report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and that story has been widely circulated. Now, friends, if the disciples came to steal the body, if their intention was to confuse the people, why do you think they would take the linen off there and leave it behind? Why would they leave it so neatly? Friends, if you've ever watched a TV program about a robbery at a house, you'll often discover that the police know that a robbery happened because everything is turned upside down in the house. And that's how we know, friends. We know the body wasn't stolen because the clothes are left there, all neatly folded. Why would they just leave it there? Friends, something had happened. The resurrection had happened. The third reason why we believe the linen being left behind is part of the resurrection is that the clothing was folded. Certainly the head covering was folded. It says this, when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, It says this, he said to him, Lazarus, come out. The dead came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to him, take off the cloth, the grave clothes that's on his face. Jesus didn't tell him to take off the strips, although that comes a little bit later. There was a cloth covering the face of Lazarus. And Jesus says, take off that cloth. Because that cloth, friends, would have smothered Lazarus if he kept it on very much longer. Friend, the fact that the cloth is there, separate from the grave clothes, friends, is a wonderful picture of Jesus. When he arose from the dead, he took the sudarium off and he folds it up like you would a handkerchief. And he puts it to the one side. Then he takes off the other linen cloths and puts on another piece of material or linen material. Friends, the fact that it was all neat and tidy is an indication that this was something that was a very much a planned event. This wasn't a haphazard event. This wasn't something that that people were doing as they ran in to steal the body of Jesus and take it out, friends. This was Jesus purposefully showing the world around him, I have risen. Nothing can keep me in the grave. Well, of course, some would say Jesus was the perfect son. Why do I say that? Well, he even folded his own clothes. Isn't he wonderful? Folded his own clothes. But here's the real message for today, friends. Why is the linen found in the tomb so important? Friend, the linen found in the tomb is important because it relates to our salvation. Here is the important part. Look what it says at the end of that passage. They still didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The importance of the linen being left behind, friends, and finding fulfillment is found in the work of the high priest. You know, the high priest in Jerusalem, amongst the Israelites, had a very important job to do. His job, friends, his main job was to fulfill the calling on the Day of Atonement. The ultimate work of the high priest is recorded in Leviticus chapter 16. Listen to this passage in Leviticus chapter 16. Listen to what happens. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain of the atonement covering on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the curtain over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area with a young bull for the sin offering and a ram for the burnt offering. Verse 4. He is to put on sacred linen, white linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts him on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now, friends, remember what happened to Jesus when he died. After he died on the cross, the woman took his body off the cross and they washed it and they prepared it for burial and they covered it with the spices and they wrapped it in linen. That's what they did. And as a sacred thing, they put a sudarian over his face to cover his face. It wasn't tied there. It was just put there to cover his face. The rest of the details of the Day of Atonement, friends, we found in verses 6 to 22. Now let me remind you about the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest's job was to go into the Holy of Holies and make atonement. He was to offer the sacrifices that were needed, that were required by God to overcome and give forgiveness to the people of Israel. There was incense that was used. The incense reminds us, friends, of the spices put on the body of Christ. As he entered into the Holy of Holies, friends, he took the blood of goats and of rams and sprinkled it over the atonement seat. Well, friends, our Jesus didn't take the blood of goats and bulls. He took his own blood into the Holy of Holies before the seat of atonement. When he had finished, friends, inside, he would come out and then he would lay his hands on a goat and they would send that goat into the wild as the scapegoat for the sins of the people. Of course, the book of Hebrews reminds us, friends, Jesus is the one who is our scapegoat. He is the one who goes into the Holy of Holies. He is the one who's dressed to go into the Holy of Holies. He is the one who takes his own blood as he goes in to the Holy of Holies. He is the one, friends, who stands before the presence of God and pleads for the lives of humanity and offers himself as the final and ultimate sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. But here's the picture, friends. What happens at the end of the Day of Atonement? You see, when the chief priest, friends, had completed the work of atonement, he took off those sacred linen and left them behind. Listen to Leviticus. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of the meeting. This is after the day, at the end of the atonement ceremony. And take off the linen garments he had put on before he entered the most holy place. And he is to leave them there. Friends, now you understand the significance of the linen lying there, because Jesus had finished the work of the atonement. When you see the cloth lying there, it's the final picture. It's the final picture, friends, that Jesus gives to his disciples to say, I have died for you. You are no longer under the curse of sin anymore, because the work of atonement is done once and for all. Get rid of the linen cloth. It's there as evidence that Jesus made atonement for us as he went to the cross. Friend, what a wonderful picture. We're told about it in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, it says this: when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not handmade. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Friend, next time you take a hanky out your pocket. I always carry a hanky with me. I told you that before, didn't I? My father always told me to take a hanky, not necessarily for yourself, but if a lady in your company bursts into tears, that you've got something to give her to wipe her tears with. But every now and then I use it to wipe my brow. I don't tell her that, but every now and then I use it. Every time you take the hanky out your pocket, friends, remember, Jesus has finished the work of the atonement. Let's pray. Lord, what a wonderful reminder. What a wonderful reminder that just a piece of cloth, we would never have given it two thoughts, Lord. Thank you for just connecting the dots for us. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that even a simple cloth left behind in the tomb is a reminder of your perfect work you did on the cross as you offered salvation for us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. We're going to sing a great song.